In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. Let us read some verses from the Gospel of St. Matthew, chapter 12, starting from verse 38. Then some of the scribes and Pharisees said to him, "Teacher, we wish to see a sign from you." But he answered them, "An evil and adulterous generation seeks for a sign, but no sign shall be given to it except the sign of the prophet Jonah. For as Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights in the belly of the whale, so will the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. The men of Nineveh will arise at the judgment with this generation and condemn it, for they repented at the preaching of Jonah. And behold, something greater than Jonah is here. The queen of the south will arise at the judgment with this generation and condemn it, for she came from the ends of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon. And behold, something greater than Solomon is here." And glory be to God forever and ever. Amen. In this passage, the scribes and the Pharisees went to the Lord Jesus Christ and asked for a miracle, for a sign. But the Lord refused to do a miracle before them. And we may wonder why. We may wonder why the Lord refused to perform a miracle. Maybe it was good if he performed a miracle and they may believe in him. But why the Lord refused to perform a miracle, to give them a sign? Because miracles cannot be foundation of faith. Actually, the Antichrist, when he comes, he will perform miracles. So, if faith is based on miracles, people may believe in the Antichrist before he will perform miracles. In the book of Exodus, we read about Moses performed miracles before Pharaoh. And what happened? Pharaoh called the magicians, and the magicians were also able to perform miracles and to convert or to change the staff into snake. Moses performed the miracle through the power of God, and the magician performed miracles through the power of Satan. So the Lord refused to do a miracle because miracles cannot be the foundation of our faith. And miracles may deceive many people. And the Lord Jesus Christ answered and said to the scribes and Pharisees, "This generation is an evil generation, an adulterous generation. And they don't need miracles. No sign will be given to them. Because if this generation is an evil generation, an adulterous generation, miracles will not heal them. Miracles cannot help them. What can help them? They don't need a miracle, but they need a savior. They need a savior to save them from their sins and iniquities, from their evil, from their trespasses. That's what they need. An evil and adulterous generation. They don't need a miracle, but they need a savior. And that's why the Lord said, no sign will be given to them except the sign of Jonah the prophet. Why? Because Jonah was an antitype of the Lord Jesus Christ. Was example to the Lord Jesus Christ. And he said to the multitude, as Jonah was in the belly of the whale for 3 days and three nights, the Son of Man will be in the earth for 3 days and three nights. And through the death and resurrection of Jonah, and I say death and resurrection because in the belly of the whale, he was like dead person. And when God delivered him from the whale, actually this was like a resurrection. So, as the people of Nineveh were saved through the death and resurrection of Jonah, so this evil and adulterous generation will be saved through the death and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. So this generation doesn't need miracle. Miracles cannot help them. What they really need, they need a savior to redeem them, to die for them, to save them. And actually, the Lord said, and something is greater than Jonah. Who is this? It is the Lord Jesus Christ. He is greater than Jonah. How the ministry of Jonah, how the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ was greater than the ministry of Jonah the prophet. Of course, Jesus is greater than Jonah because Jesus is the God of Jonah. Jesus Christ created Jonah. But the Lord here, when he said that I am greater than Jonah, he didn't mean that he is the creator and Jonah he is his servant. But he was comparing between the ministry of Jonah and the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. And there is a big difference between the ministry of Jonah and the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. What Jonah did? Jonah went to Nineveh. Actually, when God forced him, so he did it. He did his ministry unwillingly. And he gave them one sermon. And this sermon was composed of few words. After 40 days, God will destroy this city. This was the sermon of Jonah. He didn't speak about repentance. He didn't speak about the love of God, the forgiveness of God, how God is accepting them. He didn't say anything. He just made one sermon, and this sermon was composed of five words. After 40 days, God will destroy this city. Compare this ministry with the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. He was preaching. He was healing the sick. He was performing miracles. He was searching after the lost sheep. He was comforting each one who needs comfort. Of course, there is big, big difference between the ministry of Jonah and the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. But the sermon of Jonah, although it was five words, changed the heart of the Ninevites, and they repented. And that's why the Lord said, the people of Nineveh will rise in the day of judgment and condemn this generation. Why? Because they repented at the preaching of Jonah. And here there is greater than Jonah. And yet the people didn't repent and didn't believe in him. And that's why the people of Nineveh will condemn this generation. Although they didn't have a great preacher like the Lord Jesus Christ, but they repented. And these people have greater preacher, the greatest preacher, the Lord Jesus Christ himself, and didn't repent yet. And actually, we can apply this to us. See what we have. If we compare what we have right now with what the people of Nineveh had, actually they had nothing compared to what we have. We have the Holy Bible, the Word of God. The people of Nineveh didn't have the Holy Bible. We have the sacraments. We have His body and His blood on the altar every day, so that if we eat from His body and drink from His blood, we will be one with Him. We have baptism for salvation and remission of our sins. We have writings of the church fathers. We have sermons, we have churches, we have sacrament of confession. We have many, many, many blessings. But do we have the repentance of the Ninevites? If we don't have the same repentance, the same heart of the people of Nineveh, they will condemn us in the day of judgment, because they didn't have anything from what we have right now. All what they had, a sermon composed of 5 words, but they repented. And now we have thousands of sermons, we have sacraments, we have churches, we have priests, we have spiritual books, we have many, many things, and we don't have the same repentance. So let us follow the footsteps of the Ninevites and see how they repented, and try to learn from their example and repent as they repented. So I'm going to read from the book of Jonah about the repentance of the Ninevites, and we'll try to follow their example. We'll try to learn from their repentance and to see how they repented, so that we may also offer a strong and acceptable repentance to God. In Jonah chapter 3, it says, "And Jonah cried, yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown." This was his sermon. "Yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. And the people of Nineveh believed God. They proclaimed a fast and put on sackcloth, from the greatest of them to the least of them. Then tidings reached the king of Nineveh, and he arose from his throne, removed his robe, and covered himself with sackcloth, and sat in ashes. And he made proclamation and published through Nineveh, by the decree of the king and his nobles, let neither man nor beast, herd nor flock, taste anything. Let them not feed or drink water, but let man and beast be covered with sackcloth, and let them cry mightily to God. Yea, let everyone turn from his evil way and from the violence which is in his hand. Who knows, God may yet repent and turn from his fierce anger so that we perish not. When God saw what they did, how they turned from their evil way, God repented of the evil which he had said he would do to them, and he did not do it. In these verses, there are 7 points in the repentance of the Ninevites, and we'll discuss these 7 points. The first point in verse 5, and the people of Nineveh believed God. This is the first point. Believed God. The people of Nineveh believed God. What does this mean? I am sure all of us will say, we believe in God. We recite the creed, we truly believe in one God. But what does this verse mean? They believed in God. The people of Nineveh believed God. The verse before this verse says, and Jonah said to them, yet 40 days and Nineveh will be overthrown. So they believed God. They took this warning very seriously. That's what does this mean. They believed God. They took the warning seriously. God will destroy their city after 40 days if they did not repent. You know what is the difference between the saints and us? They took God seriously. The saints take God seriously. Unfortunately, we don't take his commandments and his words seriously. Let me tell you, how many times you read in the Bible that no liars will enter the kingdom of God? How many times? Several times. All of you know, it is mentioned in the Bible that no liars will enter the kingdom of God. How many of us took this seriously? If we take it seriously, we will never lie. But until now, we lie. You know why? Because we don't take God seriously. If we believe in God, if we believe that no liars will enter the kingdom of God, we shall never lie again. Because one lie can risk my salvation. A lie can put me in the lake of fire, eternal lake of fire. So, do we take God seriously? How many times you read in the Bible that without prayer we cannot achieve anything? The Lord said, without me you cannot achieve anything. Pray unceasingly. Pray without ceasing. And how many of us pray continuously? How many of us pray morning and night? Saint Isaac says, if you think there is a way for repentance other than prayer, you deceive yourself. Which means, if you want to repent but you are not praying, you are deceiving yourself. Why? Because you are trying to repent without the grace of God. You enter the war with the devil alone, without God. So devil definitely will defeat me, because he is stronger and mightier than me. And we try to change our life without prayer. And then we complain why we are unable to change our life. So the people of Nineveh believed God, which means they took God seriously. They took his commandments seriously. They took this warning. After 40 days, God will destroy the city. They took this warning seriously. So, if you want to repent, number one, you need to take your spiritual life very seriously. When you read in the Bible any commandment or any warning, you need to take this seriously. And you need to follow it. And you need to keep it. God gave us this Bible not for entertainment. It's not like newspaper or magazine. You read it and criticize it and judge it and say, I like it or I don't like it. No. This is the book of life, which means if you follow what's in this book, you will have eternal life. If you don't, you will not have eternal life. So, number one, do we take God seriously? Do we believe him as the people of Nineveh did? If we want to repent, if we want to change our life, number one, we should take the commandment of God seriously, believe in God. Number two, people of Nineveh believed God. They proclaimed a fast. Number two, they fasted. They proclaimed a fast. They fasted. Why? Nobody asked them to fast. Jonah didn't give a sermon about fasting and benefits of fasting. And they were Gentiles, which means they didn't hear about fasting. Why they fasted? Many people actually complain that our church has many fasting. We fast more than 2/3 of the year. And they are unhappy with this. And some people start to make their own calendar of fasting. For example, they say, during the Holy Great Fast, we only fast 40 days. We don't fast the 55 days. And the Apostles' Fast, we fast 12 days. And the Nativity Fast, we fast 30 days. They have their own calendar. It's different than the calendar of the church. But the people of Nineveh, although nobody told them you need to fast, they proclaimed a fast. Why? Why? As you know, there is a war between the spirit and the flesh. St. Paul says, the spirit wars against the flesh, and the flesh wars against the spirit. So there is a continuous war between the spirit and flesh. In any fight, in any war, who overcome? The stronger. So if you have two people fighting with each other, who will win? The stronger will win the fight. So there is fight between the spirit and the flesh. Who will win this fight? The stronger. So if my spirit is stronger than my flesh, the spirit will win the war. If my flesh is stronger than my spirit, then the flesh will win the war. And that's why St. Paul differentiated between the man of flesh and the spiritual man. The man of flesh is the man who is controlled by the desires of the flesh. But the spiritual man is the man who is controlled by the Spirit of God. So in fasting, what we do, actually, we empower our spirit and weaken our flesh. And when you say, I weaken my flesh, I don't mean I make it sick. No. I mean to weaken my flesh in comparison to my spirit through fasting, through not giving my flesh that its desires. If he wants to eat, I tell him, no, you cannot eat this food. Why? In order to give chance for my spirit to be stronger, so that I will win, the spirit will win the fight, the war with the flesh. And that's why we need to fast. We need to fast. We shouldn't complain that we have so many fasts in the church. Actually, we should be happy that we have so many fasts, because we need these fasts in order to become spiritual. And fasting is a great opportunity to develop self-control and to make our spirit overcome the desires of the flesh. And if you are able to say no to the desire of food, you will be able to say no to any other desire or any other lust or any other sin. But if I am unable to say no to the desire of food, I will not be able to say no to sin. And that's why it's very important to fast. Fasting is a powerful tool that helps us to develop self-control and to discipline our bodies. As St. Paul says, I discipline my body and bring it into subjection, lest after I preach it to others, I myself be rejected. I discipline my body and bring it into subjection. Fasting helps us to discipline our body and bring it into subjection. So number one, the people of Nineveh believed God. They took God seriously. Number two, they proclaimed fast. See, fast. And number three, and put on sackcloth. Put on sackcloth. Sackcloth, اللي هي المسوح. Why is he put on sackcloth? And not only the people of Nineveh, listen to the decree of the king. The king said, by the decree of the king and his nobles, let neither man nor beast, herd nor flock, taste anything. Let them not feed or drink water, but let man and beast be covered with sackcloth. So also the beasts were covered with sackcloth. And the king himself, he arose from his throne, removed his robe, covered himself with sackcloth, and sat in ashes. Sat in ashes. What is the point behind putting on sackcloth and sitting in ashes? Ashes remind us with the fire. How God turned Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes. So ashes remind us with the punishment of God. When God punished our sins, as he turned Sodom and Gomorrah, this great city, into ashes. And that's why by humbling ourselves, putting on sackcloth, and sitting on ashes. This ascetic practices is like, we know if we don't repent, we will be thrown into the eternal fire. And that's why, when we look to these ashes, we are reminded that unless we repent, we will perish. And maybe this is the idea behind Ash Wednesday in the Catholic tradition. The Catholic Church, the first day of the Lent, of the Great Fast, they call it Ash Wednesday. And the people go to the church and the priest anoint them with ashes. It is like the people of Nineveh when they sit on ashes. It is a reminder that the wage of sin is death. The sinners who did not repent will be turned into ashes, which means will be thrown into the lake of fire. But there is another dimension, which is asceticism. Asceticism, putting on sackcloth and sitting on ashes. The king arose from his throne, removed his robe, put on sackcloth, which means he started to practice asceticism. Asceticism هي الحياة النسكية. It is important when we fast to be ascetic in our fasting. Because many people fast, but they try to please themselves during fasting and to spoil themselves during fasting. And this is not right. Many people, Muslim, during fasting, they prepare several kinds of food. And they say, isn't it enough that we are fasting? So we have to prepare different kinds of food. So what is the point of fasting? The point of fasting is to discipline yourself, not to spoil yourself. If we are spoiling ourselves instead of disciplining ourselves during fasting, then the purpose of fasting is gone and will not benefit. And that's why in fasting there are three dimensions. The first dimension is abstinence. We need to abstain from eating and drinking for some time. And I don't see what can prevent us from abstaining until 12 noon, for example. Any person can abstain until 12 noon. The first meal, we call it breakfast, which means breakfast breaking the fast. So if you eat in the morning, you are breaking the fast because you are eating breakfast. So in fast, we need to abstain from eating and drinking maybe at least until 12 noon. Unless, of course, you are taking some sort of medication or you have health problem. And you can discuss this with your spiritual father. But I'm speaking, the healthy person should abstain from eating and drinking until 12 at least. And the second dimension is to try to control the quantity of food. And the third dimension, the quality of food. If you control the quantity and the quality, and you abstained, then you are really disciplining yourself and bring it into subjection. And you will benefit from fasting. Many people, they say, we fasted for so many years, but we didn't benefit from fasting. Because we don't fast in the right way. Fasting meant to be a tool for self-control. So, if you discipline your body and you practice asceticism during fasting, you will benefit from fasting. So, now we mentioned 3 points so far. قولوا معايا عشان ايه ما تكونوش نسيت. What was the first point? They believed God. Second point. They proclaimed the fast. Third point. Put on sackcloth, which means asceticism. Number four. You're like, from the greatest of them to the least of them. And the king said, let neither man nor beast, herd nor flock, taste anything. Let them not feed or drink water. But let man and beast be covered with sackcloth, and let them cry mightily to God. The fourth point, all of them fasted together, from the greatest of them to the least of them, the elders and the children, without exception. And actually, not only the human being fasted, but also the beasts in Nineveh, they fasted too. And this is very important. When we fast, we should fast together. If you pray by yourself, your prayer is weaker than if you pray with a group. The prayer of a group of persons is more powerful and stronger than a prayer of a person by himself. And that's why the Lord said, if two or three gathered in my name, I'll be among them. That's why one person cannot do a liturgy. Priest by himself alone, without deacon or without congregation, cannot do a liturgy. And the same is true for fasting. When we fast together, our fasting will be stronger and more effective than if I fast by myself. Why God accepted the fasting of the Ninevites? Because all of them, without exception, they fasted with one spirit, with one accord. If we are one body, the body of Christ, this body should fast together. We read in the books of Acts, they were fasting together in Acts chapter 27. All of them were fasting together. So, if I'm not fasting, I'm not only losing the benefits of fasting, but also, I am weakening the fasting of my brother. Do you understand this point? If I am not fasting, if I decided not to fast, there are two things here. Number one, I will lose the benefits of fasting in my life. And number two, I will weaken the fasting of my brother who is fasting. Because if I fasted with him, our fasting together will be stronger and more powerful than if my brother fasted by himself. Think about it. If the whole Christian in the whole world are fasting and praying together, I am sure will change the world into heaven. There will be no evil in the world. But why the world is full of evil? Because we don't pray and we don't fast together. When the governor in Egypt threatened Pope Abraham, if they don't move the mountain al-Mu'attam, he will kill all the Christians. What did they do? They fasted. All of them, they fasted together. And when they fasted together in one spirit, they were able to move a mountain. Can you believe it? They were able to move a mountain. That's the power of fasting. But if Pope Abraham fasted by himself, it wouldn't be that effective as when the whole Christians in Egypt fasted with one spirit. So, if there is fasting in the church, there is no excuse to say, I'm not going to fast, or I will fast after 2 weeks, or I fast after the fourth week. This is not right. If the church is fasting, everybody should be fasting. And everybody in the family should be fasting. And this will give power to our prayer and to our fasting. Fasting and prayer cast out demons, as the Lord Jesus Christ said. And if you think about it, why people don't fast? There is no acceptable excuse. Of course, other than health problems. But can you give me one excuse that's acceptable why you shouldn't fast? There is no excuses. Maybe you will tell me, I am all the day outside in work and I cannot find something to eat, so it is difficult to fast. And this is not an excuse. Why? Here you are seeking what is convenient, not what is right. And yes, I will tell you the truth. Sometimes fasting is not convenient. But we should do what is right and what's proper, not what is convenient. Of course, to go to work every day and to wake up early every day and to drive in the rush hour and stuck in the traffic for 2 hours, that's not convenient. But we do it every day. Why? Because it is the right thing to do. So we should do what is right to do, not what is convenient for us to do. So although fasting may be inconvenient to us, but it is the right thing to do, and that's why we should fast. So it is not acceptable to say, I cannot fast because it is inconvenient. This is not an excuse. And if we want to repent, like the people of Nineveh, all of us should fast. All of us should fast together. And if we are fasting together, this will empower our repentance and our spiritual life. So the people of Nineveh believed the God. They proclaimed fast. They put on sackcloth. And they fasted, all of them, together, from the greatest to the least. Number 5. And the king made a decree saying, and let them cry mightily to God. Cry mightily to God. cry. There is different between when you say a word or you cry it. If there is a fire, do you think we will say, there is a fire here, please come and help me? All will cry. Will cry. So in our spiritual struggle, we need to cry to the Lord and cry mightily from our hearts. That is a powerful prayer. The prayer that comes from the heart. The prayer that shakes the heaven, because it comes from the depth of the heart. As David says in his Psalms, when you read the Psalms of David, several times he says, I cry to the Lord from my heart, from the depths of my heart. Cry mightily. Again, many people say, we fasted for many years, but we didn't benefit from the fast. So why should we fast? And let me tell you, fasting does not work alone. Do you know what I mean by it does not work alone? If you go to a physician, and the physician prescribed 3 medications, and you decided to take one and not the other 2, this medicine will not be effective. Because this medicine doesn't work alone. It has to be combined with the other 2 medications. In the same way, fasting doesn't work alone. Fasting works with prayer. And that's why you hear in the fraction, fasting and prayer, which the prophet pursued, which the martyrs pursued, fasting and prayer. And the people of Nineveh knew this. And that's why they didn't only fast, they didn't only put on sackcloth, but also they cried mightily to the Lord. And that's why during the time of fasting, we have many liturgies. Sometimes every day we have a liturgy. Because we need to pray. Our fasting should be combined with prayer. This combination is very, very powerful in our fight against the devil, fasting and prayer. And when we pray, we need to remember this verse, cry mightily to the Lord. So the prayer should come from my heart. Some people start the fast and end the fast without praying at all. That's not right. If you are praying, for example, one psalm, during fasting, you need to increase this. Maybe you need to pray 3 psalms. If you are praying prime and compliant, maybe you need to add another prayer. So you're in fasting, you pray prime, vespers, and compliant. You need to read more in the Bible. If you are reading one chapter, maybe you need to read 3 chapters every day. And when you pray, you should focus on the quality of prayer. Because the children of Israel were praying to God, but by their lips. And God said, these people honor me with their lips. So their worship is vain. It is a vain worship. So if we don't pray to God from our hearts and we don't cry mightily to Him, it is a vain worship. And cry, I don't mean to shout. No, I don't mean this. Cry mightily. I mean the prayer comes from my heart, not only from my mouth. Like Hannah, the mother of Samuel. Although Ali is a priest, he didn't hear her words, but she was crying mightily to the Lord from her heart. And because she was crying to the Lord, God answered her prayer. Fasting doesn't work alone. Fasting should be supported by our prayers. So, only 5 points. Further, two more points. Number one, they believed God. Number two, fasted. Number three, as it says, put on sackcloth. Number four, they fasted together from the greatest to the least. Number five, cried mightily to the Lord. Number six, the king said, let everyone turn from his evil way and from the violence which is in his hands to the Lord. Let everyone turn from his evil way. That's repentance. You know what they mean, turning from his evil way? I know you know the U-turn. When you are driving in this direction and you find that you are driving in the wrong direction. So what do you do? You do a U-turn to correct the direction of driving. That's what's written here. Turn from the evil way. If I'm going in that direction, away from God, and every day I am far away from God, now I need to turn 180 degrees to do exactly the opposite, to be going in the right direction. That's repentance. Turning away from the evil way. And let everyone turn from the evil way, his evil way. Everyone. As I said, fasting is for everyone. Repentance is for everyone. Fasting doesn't work alone. Fasting works with prayer. Fasting works with repentance. What is the point if we fast, but we are living in our evil way, and we don't change our evil way, and we don't turn from our evil way? What is the point? Why are we fasting? We need to turn from evil way. If I am hanging around the wrong group, I need to change this. And what is the 180 degrees? Is to break this relationship and start a new relationship with godly people. If I'm going to clubs, for example, or bad places, turning away from the evil way, 180 degrees means stop going there and start going to the church more often. If I am addicted to listening to worried songs and watching TV and movies, turning 180 degrees means this time, instead of wasting it with the pleasures of the world, I have to dedicate it to my spiritual life. And it has to be 180 degrees. If you are going in this direction and you know this is wrong, you cannot go in this direction because this direction also would be wrong. The only way to correct your direction is to go this way, is to change it completely, is to do exactly the opposite of what I'm doing. And that's what repentance means, changing of the way. Changing my way completely. Instead of going away from God, go toward God. Returning to God. Like the prodigal son. The prodigal son found that he is going away, straying from his father's house. What did he do? Arise and go to my father. So we should make this decision right now, while we are in the church, in this moment. Let us arise and return to God the Father. See, the Bible says, when God saw what they did, how they turned from their evil way, God repented of the evil which he had said he would do to them, and he did not do it. When God saw, this is what moved the heart of God, their repentance. They turned from their evil way. When God saw what they did and how they turned from their evil way, God repented. And he didn't do the evil that he decided to do for them. So, the time of fasting is time of repentance. Let us examine our ways. Let us see what is the evil in my life. And how can I change my life? Let us confess our sins. Go and meet your spiritual father. Confess your sins and take from him some spiritual exercises. How you change what you are doing 180 degrees in order to return back to God. So they believed in God. They proclaimed fast. They put on sackcloth, ascetic life. They fasted together, and they cried mightily to the Lord, and they repented. They changed their way. The last point, the seventh point. It says in verse 9, who knows? God may yet repent and turn from his fierce anger so that we perish not. They didn't lose hope. And see, they started with faith. They believed in God. And ended with what? With hope. Why Judas was not saved? It is not because he betrayed the Lord Jesus Christ, but it is because he lost hope in forgiveness. So Judas was perished, not because he betrayed the Lord. Saint Peter denied the Lord. But Judas was perished because he lost hope in forgiveness. And actually Jonah didn't give any hope to the Ninevites. He didn't tell them, if you repent, God will forgive you. He told them, after 40 days, God will destroy the city. But they didn't lose hope. Sometimes we feel that God will never accept us because we are sinners. Because we did many, many, many bad things. So how can God accept us? We shouldn't forget that the tender mercies of God and his love are big enough to forgive all our sins and to purify us and to cleanse us from every evil. And that's why during the Holy Great Fast, the Aspasmus al-Adam, اللي هو بيتقال بدل افرح يا مريم, instead of rejoice O Mary, we say, for you don't desire the death of a sinner, rather that he repents and lives. That's the desire of God, that we repent and live. And in the Aspasmus Vatus, we chant it instead of O Lord God of hosts, O Rabbi Elah Quwat, We say the words of Jonah actually. I know that you are merciful, compassionate, loving God. أنا أعرف أنك إله صالح رؤوف رحيم. هي the words of Jonah. Why the church choose this as Christmas? In order to give us hope that regardless how many sins we committed, God loves the sinner. He said, I didn't come to save righteous, but sinners. The whole don't need a physician, but the sick. And his title was a lover of sinners and tax collectors. That was his title. Lover of tax collector and sinners. So we shouldn't lose hope. And as I told you, Jonah didn't give them any hope, but they didn't lose hope. And this answers many people say God of the Old Testament is an angry God, God thirsty for blood, and is different from the God of the New Testament. This is a blasphemy against God. This is completely wrong, because God is God in the past, in the future, in the present. God is the same. God doesn't change. Actually, the problem of Jonah, he knew that God is compassionate, and God is merciful, and God's long-suffering. And the people of Nineveh, who were Gentiles, when they repented, God accepted them. So these accusations that God of the Old Testament is an angry and bloodthirsty God is absolutely wrong. It's not acceptable. So these are the 7 points in the repentance of the Ninevites. And God said, the people of Nineveh will rise in the day of judgment and will condemn this generation because they repented at the preaching of Jonah. And here, there is greater than Jonah. And this is true. In our life, we have greater blessing than what they had. So let us follow their footsteps and their example in repentance, lest they condemn us in the day of judgment. What are the 7 points in the repentance of the Ninevites? Believed God, proclaimed the fast, put on sackcloth, they fasted together, cried mightily to the Lord, repented, turned away from the evil way, and hope. Bill, when we have a prayer meeting, is it okay to have Salah Artigaliyah? Is that an orthodox way of worship? Some people say no. Can you clarify what is the orthodox view of it? When we pray together, we should start first by praying the Agbaya. As St. Paul said, when you meet together for prayer, that everyone has his own Sar. So this is a biblical teaching. When we pray, we should pray from the book of Psalms. That's what St. Paul said. And after we pray from the Agbaya together, from the book of Psalms, then nothing wrong to pray the Salawat al-Irtigali. But if we're going to replace the Agbaya by Salawat al-Irtigaliyah, الصلاة الارتجالية اللي هي your own prayers, your own personal prayers. This is not right. But your personal prayer should support and end and conclude the prayers from the Agbay. So if you have a prayer meeting, you can start first with the Agbay. Actually, you should start first with the Agbay, with Psalms. And after you finish the Agbay, maybe there is opportunity to pray Salawat al-Irtiqal. And glory be to God forever and ever. Amen.
Giving you the trinity, oh, we marish, oh, and Jebekra, and Marisi, and Jebekra, and Jebekra, and Jebekra, and Jebekra, and Jebekra, and
Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Irenipasi. O Master, Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son and Logos of God the Father, who has broken every bond of our sins through his life-giving sufferings, who preached into the face of his holy disciples and saintly apostles and said to them, Receive the Holy Spirit, whose sins you remit, they are remitted to them, and those which retain, they shall be retained. Also now, our Master, have given grace to those who labor in the priesthood in your holy church to forgive sins upon the earth and to bind and to lose every bond of iniquity. We ask and treat your goodness, O lover of mankind, for your servants, those who bow their heads before your holy glory. Dispense unto us your mercy and lose every bond of our iniquity. And if we have committed any sin against you, knowingly or unknowingly, or through anguish of heart, or in deed, or in word, or from faint-heartedness, Do, Master, who knows the weakness of men as a good and lover of mankind, O God, grant us the forgiveness of our sins. Bless us, purify us, absolve us, and absolve all your people. Fill us with your fear, straighten us unto your whole good will. For you are our God, glory, honor, dominion, and adoration are due to you together with the good Father and the Holy Spirit, now and forever, and the age of ages.
Amen. Son min
بخريستوس بنوتي بقورو انت تيهيريني موينان انت كيريني سننان انت كيريني كان النوفي ناني فولجي ثوق تتيقوم نبيون بسمون بيا ما شاني امين O Lord, make us worthy to pray thankfully. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. forgive us our trespasses, as forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not in temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. In Christ Jesus our Lord, for thy kingdom, power, and glory forever. And now, love of God the Father, the grace of his only begotten Son, our Lord God and Savior Jesus Christ, communion and gift of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Go in peace. May the peace of the Lord be with you all. Amen.
We thank very deeply from our deepest heart our beloved Bishop Yusuf for his coming, and we are all enjoying his lovely words that the grace of God and the Holy Spirit granted him to speak with us. هناخد لقمة البركة وبعد ما ناخد لقمة البركة we are going to start the midnight prayer. هنبتدي تسبيحة نص الليل وسيدنا هيعملها معانا النهاردة. فياريت اللي عنده استعداد يحضر معانا التسبيحة هنبتديها دلوقتي مع بعض على طول ونستمتع بيوم كأننا بنقضيه في الدير في مصر مع بعض النهاردة في وجود سيدنا معانا.